My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As Hyder would say, the Bobster and the Vin Man.
I like our guys.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
You know, it's tough to be consistent offensively, but you can. The quality of that bat was much better these last 2 days. And give our guys a lot of credit for getting a split out of here. This is a tough place to play. That's a tough team to play. And kind of getting our butts kicked the first two games, the way we responded and just won the bat the last two games was nice. Showing a lot more confidence. The way he can stay on the baseball is much improved. And, you know, he's got a ton of ability. He's going to have some ups and downs. He's a really, really young player, but it's great to see him swing the bat this way he did this series.
It's been a while. So, yeah, it was nice to get that one. And hopefully more to come.
Once in a while, he's going to have, you know, he's going to leave a change up there for Naylor. On, you know, just made a bad pitch on the 2-0 spot there. But besides that, it was pretty good. It was good cutter, good sinker, good curveball.
Brandon Hyde, Orioles manager, talking about yesterday's winning pitcher for the Orioles, Corbin Burnes, his 12th of the season as he beat the Cleveland Guardians with the help of offense, basically. It wasn't a Burnesy sort of masterpiece by any stretch of the imagination. But look, as you know, I got no problem blasting umpires or referees or whatever.
Yeah.
Corey Blazer was terrible yesterday behind them for both teams. He was just bad. I don't know what his deal was. Maybe he had like sand in his eyes, or maybe the sun was too bright. Maybe he didn't position himself properly behind the plate. But I don't know what the hell this guy was watching.
He didn't like O'Hearn.
Or Jimenez, or Logan Thomas, or a couple of other guys, or Lane Thomas, rather. A couple of dudes. He was just off. Jackson Holliday took something outside. It's like, dude, are you even paying attention to what game you're the home plate umpire for? So we'll get that out of the way. And again, he equal opportunity sucked for both the Guardians and for the Orioles. And, you know, you have to improvise and adapt, as he was more of a pitcher-friendly guy. But that was Brandon Hyde. Thought about Corbin Burnes, who did not have his ace stuff by any stretch of the imagination. Kind of labored a little bit. Didn't help his own cause with an ill-fated attempt to, you know, field the ball off the glove of Ramirez and then tossed it into the dugout. But persevered and picked up his 12th win of the season. Earned run average is still among the best in Major League Baseball. Then the bullpen comes in, much maligned. Now hold him to nothing. Shut him down. And then the Orioles, you talk about the best bullpen in baseball. It's Cleveland by a mile. If you look at some of the stats, this Heron guy who had been outstanding, a little bleeder and blooper and all that kind of got to him. But the Orioles tacked on against the best bullpen in Major League Baseball. So as Brandon Hyde said, after getting their rear end spanked nice and red in the first two games of the series, to come back and win the last two, and do so rather convincingly. Yeah, they needed a misplay in right field on Saturday on the Adley Atom Bomb or Atom Ball for the triple. But, hey, they regrouped nicely. Now they get the day off, go to Toronto, take it on the Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays did the Orioles a solid on Friday by beating the Yankees. Then they lose the last two and yesterday an extra. So as we sit here on this Monday, August the 5th, with a preseason football game already under our belts, week two of the Olympics, Ravens play Friday back at camp today. Orioles, Yankees tied for first place. Cleveland right now has the best record in the American League, but both Baltimore and New York breathing down their necks for that honor. Because keep in mind, only one team can win the division. Either the Orioles or the Yankees are going to be wild cards. And who knows, Boston might be one of those crazy things too. But Cleveland, to their credit, they've accumulated a lot of great things. Remember, they lost Shane Bieber first week of the season, or first couple of weeks. Their top pitcher, he's out. And yet they, with a rookie manager, Stephen Vogt, and they have just maintained that advantage on top of the AL Central. Best record at home in Major League Baseball. So for the Orioles to get the last two, because let's be honest, after a debacle of a July, first two games of this series, the Orioles were stinking. They were playing bad defensively. They've got closer issues still. The good news is the offense looks like it's starting to get untracked here. His Gunner's making a lot of loud noises. Adley looks like he's starting to get out of his funk. Tony Taters and Cowser have been hot for over a month. And Jackson Holliday looks like a guy that was at one time the number one prospect in baseball who belongs. Maybe the most impressive hit, Nolan, of the entire weekend was Friday night when he hit 100-plus up the box off of Class A. So Jackson Holliday, after looking like he had no business being in Major League Baseball, looking like he had never swung a bat before at times, I think we can settle down now and say, well, there's a reason he's been expected to be this guy. Granted, it's a small sample size, but he's doing the exact opposite now to what he was early when he was bad. He's really good, especially with the stick, and seems to be getting more comfortable defensively at second base, too.
Yeah. He's still on the pop-up, but he got the out at second base.
He got the force.
Yeah, which was fine. Yeah. You know, but yeah, you're right, Bob. I mean, the stick, he was, because like he got thrown three straight pitches and struck out like at 99 or whatever. Then the next at bat, you know, when he hit the home run on the off speed pitch, said he was looking for that
inside part of the plate too.
Yeah. So,
and that Gavin Williams was bringing 98, 99 miles an hour.
He was throwing smoke.
Yeah. But what an adjustment from Holliday. Gunner went yard as well. Still going to wonder, like Saturday night, Cano, he got the save situation. Nolan, looks like Craig Kimbrell has not regained the trust of Brandon Hyde just yet. And we'll see what happens the next time there's a high leverage late inning possibility. Dominguez pitched as well. He was closing it out yesterday, non-save situation. But where's Kimbrell fitting into the mix? I'm curious, because we had Rockabacco on Friday. He still thinks Kimbrell's the closer. Mm-hmm. He wasn't Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, look, Cano's been good over the last month plus here. Pretty good in July so far here to start the new month. I think just one earned run given up in that time. So compared to where he was earlier in the year, that's a luxury for the Orioles right now, that he's starting to resemble more of the guy that was an all-star in the first half of last year. But this is the group you're rolling with. There's going to be no major notable additions the rest of the season. Maybe you have a waiver claim here and there, but this is your bullpen. So with that in mind, Kimbrell's still going to have to play a big role here, and I think the ultimate success of this bullpen still hinges greatly on what he does. Even if he isn't the closer, I don't think you can remove him entirely from high-leverage situations. You just don't have the manpower to replace him there.
Yeah.
I mean, Sir Anthony Dominguez got a chance late innings with some cushion the other night, and he gave up a two-run bomb. Soto looked very shaky the other night.
He sucked.
So your two new additions.
Shaky. He was terrible.
Trying to be nice here on a Monday.
Yeah.
But your two new additions, they're not doing a ton to say, hey, we can be closers or we can be setup guys right now. So you just don't have anyone to replace Kimbrell from being at least an eighth inning guy.
Yeah, Soto gave up a couple of knocks yesterday.
Yep. It
didn't give up any damage there. But Orioles, they do salvage the split. Yankees take two out of three from Toronto. Again, Baltimore and New York don't face each other till the last week of the season up there in the Bronx, and who knows what gets decided by then. But I think it was a nice little bounce-back scenario for them, because the first two games, as Hyde said, and we just talked about Vinny, they were bad. And they looked overmatched. in the first two games.
Defensively, nothing was good.
And then you had the rundown play, which was an absolute debacle. Again, we talked about, hey, they're looking like the Bad News Bears. Bad News Bears got better.
Yeah.
I mean, they made it to the championship game. The Orioles were going in reverse, so hopefully they stem the tide a little bit with that one. You want to get in, feel free to do so at 410-583-1057. Trade deadline is gone, so you're not getting any of that sort of thing, as Nolan just said. But an off day today, then Toronto, then Tampa, then you come back home. But the bat's starting to percolate a little bit. That's a good sign. Eloy Jimenez was outstanding, and I was crapping all over this acquisition last week. And we'll see if he can continue this hot streak. I mean, he's going the opposite way, going with the pitch. A lot of his exit velocity is like 90-plus miles an hour on the season. His calling card is power, like hitting home runs, and hopefully that will become a part of this equation for the Birds. And then how about O'Reilly? Or Slater, rather. Slater! Coming up on Saturday, contributing to the cause himself. Looked like Austin Hayes, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, leading off, getting a couple of hits. Yeah, that was good. Provides depth for them, is what it does. I mean, you know, I like, is Gunnar done leading off, Bob?
And for now, looks like Kowser's kind of settled in pretty nicely there.
Yeah, that's and Rutschman was down to fifth, so maybe he'll, you know, move back up again because he's starting to hit again now.
Yeah, when you hit .125 for a month, I mean, you kind of lose that status for sure. But Kowser reached base three times yesterday, so that's good to see. Santander's outstanding. Gunnar was on base, four times yesterday? So
Gunnar's on base all the time.
Yeah, let's make it happen here with the Orioles. So let's enjoy the fact they're tied for first. It's the first week of August, so we got that to get into. Ravens, their preseason opener is coming up Friday against the Philadelphia Eagles. And Vinny, you were out there on Saturday, and I guess the news there was that Rashad Bateman and Lamar Jackson looked like they actually had been introduced to one another.
Yeah, I thought that's the best I've ever seen Bateman. Bateman looked fast, explosive, ran great routes, caught the ball in his hands. So he was extremely confident, you know, because he was running like deep crossers and stuff and stepping in front of people, catching the ball. And then running after the catch, he was impressive. I don't know what the paper had. What did he have, 4 or 5 catches, something like that? I don't keep track of those stats. All I know is that he looked pretty damn good. And, you know, Lamar was on some of them. Lamar's running down the field after him and, you know, and patting him on the back and everything. So hopefully they can stack him. But he looked like he needed to look. He looked like a legitimate big-time receiver, because after the catch, Bob, I mean, he was catching everything and trying to run and trying to make people miss and doing all. He was very active in the game, and he looked like a legit big-time receiver. I mean, it was pretty impressive watching him.
Does he need that sort of affirmation, though, with the attaboys? Instead of just going out there and handling your business, you need to be told that you're doing a good job?
Well,
does he seem to be that player to you?
Well, Bob, let me just say this. He's been getting attaboys since the season ended from Harbs. Remember, after the season?
Sure.
And this is the first time that he deserved the attaboys because of what he did on the field. He looked like, I think Greg Lewis, because I listened to his interview after, and he was like, he can be as good as he wants to be, blah, blah, all those types of things. But they had, when they walked off the field, Monken and Harbs and all them, that's what we got to have. And I'm sure they probably went over and put their arm around Bateman and said, hey, Bate, you were awesome today. I mean, if they have him like that, Bob, their offense is going to be that much better.
A couple of weeks into training camp, preseason opener looming on Friday. Any questions for Vinny about the roster makeup? Feel free to get in at 410-583-1057. The White Sox lost again yesterday. They've dropped 20 straight here in 2024. One more ties the Orioles of 88 for the longest losing streak in American League history. The 1961 Phillies dropped 23 straight games, which I guess is the major league record, at least post-1900. But the Birds are tied for first. Ravens about to begin their defense of the AFC North. You got the Olympic Games going on. And in the NFL, possible big injury out in L.A. with the Rams. We'll talk about that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
as the show progresses. Jalen Gilchrist, four-star offensive tackle out of Virginia, picked Maryland over South Carolina and Georgia.
Ooh,
highest rated Maryland recruit overall since Terrence Lewis back in 2021. So we'll see what he brings to the equation. Of course, this is all great, fine and dandy, but we know how things change dramatically in the recruiting landscape of 24 with
NIL.
NIL, yeah. And even though he's committed, that doesn't mean the schools are going to stop recruiting him, but still a good get, and Maryland's recruiting class continues to build in strength, so we'll talk to Jeff about that, get an update on basketball recruiting as well. Talk Orioles, Jacob Calvin-Meyer, top of the hour from the Baltimore Sun. Orioles have won two in a row over the Cleveland Guardians, including yesterday's W, behind a bunch of home runs and some, okay, acceptable, serviceable pitching from Corbin Burns, and then a stellar outing, for the most part, by the bullpen. Grace Rodriguez will be on the hill for the Orioles tomorrow as they start that series against the Toronto Blue Jays. If you want to get in, you can. Talk about the Birds, 9-5 winners. You want to talk about the Ravens, preseason opener coming on from Friday. You want to get into the Olympics, we could do any of that. Big fight card on Saturday. Man, Kai, you were like Nostradamus calling them fights, dude. And Ray, you the same. So if you want to get in and talk about that, you know, we're here for you. We ain't going nowhere until 2 o'clock, as a matter of fact. Let's go to Harry and Owings Mills. Harry, what's happening? Thanks for holding. Hope you had a great weekend. Harry?
Harry? Hello?
Nah, we can't do that. Call back, Harry. 410-583-1057 is the number. You want to get in and talk to us. Again, the Orioles win 9-5 yesterday. For a guy like Jackson Holliday. Now, Kobe Mayo's taking his lumps early.
Yes, he is.
He doesn't look overmatched at third base. There was that miscommunication over the weekend where he and Kowser misplayed the ball, and it was pretty much the end of the day for Kramer, who, as you saw, screamed into his glove, as Dean Kramer is prone to do. So Mayo's going to get your welcome to the major league moments. But Jackson Holliday, what a difference just going down, resetting. Rockabaca wrote about it today on MassinSports.com. Every game, there isn't 50,000 microphones in his face asking him questions that have been asked over and over and over again. Now he's just back. He's being a ball player. Seems much more relaxed. And He's only 20 years old. Let's not forget that. The kid's upside is incredible. And now you can see, you're understanding why. The Orioles made him untouchable. And you can get into these dopey internet trade discussions and hypothetical this and hypothetical that. Do the Orioles need another starting pitcher? Of course they do. And they're probably going to have to address that maybe in the offseason. But I'd rather have a guy that hits the field every day than someone who pitches every fifth day. And he's controllable for years. I mean, if this is a glimpse of what he's going to be and what he was early in his minor league career, with him and Gunner at second and short, and then Westberg comes back,
yeah.
I mean, you've got some Studley and Mayo.
Couser.
I mean, look, Mike Elias has done a brilliant job drafting, and we're still going to, Enrique Bradfield's having a kind of a bust-out year. They just drafted the kid from North Carolina. All right, remains to be seen what that's going to turn out to be, because he was apparently a high-risk, high-reward guy.
Honeycutt.
Big speed, great defensive player, but strikes out a lot. I mean, the young talent is undeniable. And Nolan, I mean, it's like Mike Elias after the trade deadline, where they didn't get Tarek Skubal. By the way, nobody else did. They didn't get
Crochet.
Nobody else did. Blake Snell threw a no-hitter over the weekend. Nobody else did. Nobody got it because the asking price was astronomical, and Crochet screwed himself with those dopey demands. But Mike Elias went from being a guy who had a clue to being clueless just like that. And again, last time I checked the standings, which was about 30 seconds ago, Orioles are still tied for first.
Right, and to your point, how quickly things change at the deadline, we obviously didn't know that Jordan Westberg was a couple days from going down for seemingly maybe the entire regular season. Who knows what his timeline will end up being, but, you know, is Jackson Holliday replacing Jordan Westberg? Not one for one offensively and defensively, but so far through these first five games back, he's replacing him pretty well at the plate. And if he can keep that up, now you can sort of survive the loss of Westberg a little bit easier. And I love what he's providing to the bottom of the lineup. I mean, maybe he gets moved up if he keeps this hot streak up. I'm talking about Holliday. But to have that kind of quality at bat, batting eighth or ninth, then you turn things over to what the top of the order has been doing. Couser at leadoff has been fantastic. Santander, Henderson, Adley could be up there again before the season's over. I think I really like having a reliable bat down there at the bottom of the order. And even if he does continue this hot streak, I'd consider leaving him down there just for the full range of the lineup being versatile 1 through 9.
Another guy getting hot offensively quietly is Ryan Mountcastle. Mm-hmm. Starting to percolate a little bit. But Holliday, Gunner, Westberg, they're shortstops by trade. So it brings that positional versatility to the equation. It'd be interesting to see what happens when Mateo comes back. Now, he's on the 60-day IL, so his return isn't imminent, but you got some interesting decisions to make moving forward. Hey, Westberg's an all-star, so we're cool with him, and he brings a lot to the equation offensively, and that's one of the more unfortunate injuries we have seen here in 2024, but they stacked all these prospects middle infield-wise through the draft the last few years, and now we're starting to see all this pay off for them. Hey, Norby and Joey Ortiz, there was no room at the inn for these guys. Joey Ortiz, a candidate maybe for Rookie of the Year in the National League, and Norby's going to get his time sooner or later with the Marlins here.
It seems like, you know, you're talking about Elias, and, you know, they're all shorts. He likes athletes. And he noticed they all can run. So, you know, and Bob, growing up, who's playing shortstop, you know, in high school, junior high? It's the best athlete on the team.
They're pitching and playing shortstop or center field, whatever the case may be. And you talk about speed. This Bradfield's got like world class. He's got 80 speed on the baseball scouting scale, which is the top you could possibly get. So they've got athletes coming up, but I'm comfortable, Nolan, with what the infield's looking like, at least for now. Till somebody goes 0 for 20, then we're going to be pissed off again.
Sure, and the defense is still going to be suspect. You know, he mentioned it earlier with Holliday dropping a couple pop-ups, but he was tested a lot. What was it, Saturday's game? It seemed like every grounder was hit to him. So like he had a magnet in his glove. So he's getting a lot of work. You talk about the comfort at the plate defensively, same thing. Much more sure of himself, making the throws, all of that. Still going to make the mistake. He's 20 years old. Gunner's probably still going to have errant throws. And Mayo, You know, he's got a cannon for an arm, but sometimes you don't know where it's going. So there's going to be growing pains there. But if they can overcome that, make up for it at the plate, all right, now it's a wash. You're better off.
Just tighten up defensively with just the basic fundamental things, which they've been so good at here since they become contenders again. And another thing that we're starting to see maybe get better, hitting with runners in scoring position. Yeah. Because you can't rely on the long ball. You can, because when you're riding that hot streak, you can make teams pay. But Saturday night, no home runs. And they made Cleveland feel that pain on national TV. No,
a lot of two-out hits, too. A lot of two-out, you know, RBIs, which wasn't like, I want to say Holidays was one. And then wasn't Rutschman had one yesterday.
Well, but big situation early yesterday to load the bases with no outs. And for a second there, it looked like they were only going to walk away with just the one run on the sac fly, which I think Adley had. And then that's where you're talking about the two-out hits. I don't know who it was, but they came through with a couple there, really saved the day, because that could have been, you know, Cleveland's starter was terrible.
Yeah,
couldn't put the ball over the plate, and there was a very real possibility that he makes it out of the second there or the third with only two runs given up. That's new life for a pitcher. You can't let him off the hook like that.
I blame Corey Blazer for that.
Oh,
that
yeah.
should have been a seven run. It's Vinny and 81.057 The Fan. Olympic update coming your way. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Baltimore Sun. Birds are off today, heading to Toronto, taking on the Blue Jays, one of the more disappointing teams in 2024. Whip around 11:15. Tons going on over the weekend. Big boxing extravaganzas, an undefeated heavyweight. He almost literally got his head knocked off his shoulders out in L.A. Kyle Phoenix, Baltimore beat down. Get his thoughts on this Ravens roster 4 days before the preseason open. Acceptable effort, not a quality start, not even by the today's low expectations. Quality start, 5 innings, 5 runs, 4 earned. Naylor hit a missile off Corbin Burns, but he does pick up his 12th win of the season. And yes, he is a top of the rotation number one starter by all definition, just didn't have his A game. But luckily for him, the Orioles brought the bats, 4 for 11, runners in scoring position, a couple of home runs, as we said. So now they seem to have, and I'm not a psychiatrist or psychologist by any stretch of the imagination, but it seemed as though they were going through this lull as a team, flat, emotion, the enthusiasm seemed to have waned a little bit. Last couple of days, and it helps when you win, obviously, they seem to be more of the peppy Orioles, youthful, exuberant team than we've seen through pretty much most of July, when it was almost like they were expecting something bad to happen against them.
Well, it looked almost, Bob, like they were tired, you know, and then I don't know. And then, I mean, in any sport, in anything, confidence plays a huge thing in it. And you get confident. Just look at Gunnar. He hadn't hit a home run since All-Star game.
Yep.
And
he
you,
was barely hitting him in those things,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. And now, I mean, he's hitting 100, you know, he's exit velocity over 100 on every shot he's hitting. Because the announcers were saying he's going to hit a home run today as hard as he's hitting the ball. And he did. And he did. So, they went through their lull, you know, because there's that, Bob, baseball season's a long season, and, you know, it's like it never ends, and then now you kind of see the light at the end of the, you hit August, see the light at the end of the tunnel, season's coming, you know, the important games are really coming now, so you kind of get rejuvenated.
Yeah, trade deadline's over, so you don't have to worry about a teammate. You know, leaving the clubhouse. So, yeah, now they understand what the task is. They just have to execute their plan as, perfectly as they possibly can. Same with the Yankees.
Yep.
And because of the wild card, you know, a lot of teams are still very much alive in a quest to get to the postseason. One of those teams is not Toronto, by the way. They're 11.5 out of the wild card. So now you got to go in here and the Orioles, okay. You got to start dropping hammers on some of these teams.
Win the ones you're supposed to.
And the Orioles have a better record on the road than they do at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. So take care of your business against the Blue Jays. It's a reeling team. I mean, they're banged up. The manager is probably going to get whack-attacked if the season is over. Who knows what their offseason will be like in trying to redo the squad. But go out of here, handle your business. Same thing in the Trop. Tampa's always kind of that, you know, pain in the ass team. They just took two out of three from Houston. But now it's up to the Orioles, who are the better team most nights when they hit the diamond, to play like it.
Right. And Bob, the way they've been losing is they beat themselves. You know, they throw errors and those types of, you know, they do some dumb things. So, yeah, they've got to start to, like you said, Bob, just like in football, beat the teams you're supposed to beat, especially, you know, as you're going down the stretch here, kind of get into your, you know, game mode and what we're supposed to be. You know, we're the best team in baseball, and now it's time to put the Yankees away, although the Yankees are playing better now, too.
They're hanging in there. NFL Hall of Fame induction ceremony was over the weekend. Steve McMichael Mongo. He gets in, you know, sadly, you know, ALS, it's an incurable disease. And, you know, I saw a thing on ESPN today about the 10-year anniversary of the Ice Bucket Challenge, which is for ALS research. But it was very, I can sit here and say I was crying watching it, but, you know, the 85 Bears seemed like it was yesterday to me, and I'm sure to you as well. I remember that season vividly because they were rock stars. And Steve McMichael was part of it. Now you see almost 40 years in the rearview mirror, and, you know, he's fighting for his life. But all of his, you know, the Singletary and the Dan Hamptons and Richard Dent, Ron Rivera, I saw he was there, along with his wife, his Hall of Fame, you know, bust. I mean, that was pretty cool thing to see for Steve McMichael there.
Yeah, and they were saying on TV, Bob, the only, you know, like he can't blink. He can't even acknowledge, you know, because when they were talking to him and everything, his wife was patting him on the chest, you know, he just kept looking straight, didn't move an eye, nothing. So they said he's the only way he's living, Bob, is he's hooked up to everything.
He's on a ventilator.
Yeah, and I'm guessing, I don't know, but I'm guessing that they wanted him to get through that ceremony for sure.
Yeah, Pete Frates, by the way, was the young man who passed away 5 years ago from ALS. The Ice Bucket Challenge was started by him, and it became a social media movement. I participated, me, Glenn Eunice, because we've been 10 years. We were working together at the time. He was a ball player for Boston College, baseball player. He was buddies with Matt Ryan, because they were there kind of at the same time. But he got ALS and sadly passed away. But this was all, you know, it started because of him just trying to raise enough money to find the cure for Lou Gehrig's disease. And, you know, and Steve McMichael, and we saw it up front center in Canton, or he was at home. But it was pretty emotional moment to watch him, because you know, his brain's still firing all cylinders. His body has just betrayed him. He can't talk, can't move, but his brain is still working the way brain should.
Yeah, it's a tough deal, you know. But I thought it was really cool how they did it, and, you know, to have all his teammates and stuff around, Bob, it was really good. And Dent was like the speaker for them, it seemed like. But yeah, it was a hell of a deal.
Yeah, Bears got represented big time. Got McMichael, Devin Hester, Julius Peppers.
Yeah.
Who was a hell of a basketball player at the University of North Carolina. And I'm sitting there watching the Hall of Fame and Devin Hester, and I was like, damn, he played for the Ravens.
Yeah.
For like a, right, what year was it? I'm not going to Google it. I'll let Nolan look it up. 4 or 5 years ago, and he didn't even make it through the season, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it was, let's see, 2016. He also spent some time with Seattle that year.
Yep, so Devin Hester, you know, had a cup of coffee here in the Charm City, but made his bones as a Hall of Famer with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, can you imagine now? I mean, because now teams are trying to get that returner again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Pittsburgh went and signed Cordarrelle Patterson 15 minutes after the new rule came in.
Question is, who's going to do that for the Ravens? We'll talk about it. The new kickoff rules. John Harbaugh was talking about it on Saturday. We're going to hear from him. Harbsy and the rest going to be out at One Winning Drive today at 1:20 as practice resumes. Training camp preseason opener is Friday against the Eagles here in Baltimore. Orioles are off today after splitting with Cleveland. Got the Olympics hot and heavy. Final week of action over in Paris, France. And the White Sox have dropped 20 consecutive games. And I think they get worse every loss. in my book. You got badminton on in the Olympics here. It's the final week of the Olympic Games. And this is not drunken badminton in the backyard where somebody usually winds up getting hurt because they've had too many beers.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you're that guy. Hello, right over here, everyone. But there is an art form to some of these Olympic sports. And badminton, again, you think of it as just some thing you do when you're out with friends and family. But these guys and ladies who participate, they're pretty badass. That shuttlecock remains in the air for quite some time here.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like ping pong, you know, type thing. But I haven't played badminton. Bob, we used to have it in PE class, you know, when you were younger.
Oh, we've got a badminton net. We've got it all. But let's just say it's been in the shed for quite some time. How about you, Nolan? You been slapping that old shuttlecock around lately?
No, that was same as Vinny, high school gym class. Mm-hmm. It was always, we do it in the winter because you do it inside.
Right.
That was always the most intense month or however long we did it in high school gym class. Everyone got up for badminton. Even the people that hated gym got into it.
Yeah. All I got to do is get the racket on the thing there, but it looks like pickleball's become the new paddle game that is sweeping the nation. And isn't a pickleball essentially a wiffle ball? I wrong about that or what?
I've never played.
I've never played it either, but yeah, it looks like it's a wiffle ball. My kids play it.
Really?
But I don't. I've never played.
Because you're running. I mean, you're getting your work in.
Well, a lot of... You know, like up at the tennis court, they kind of convert tennis courts into paddleball courts. And I see a lot of older people playing, mm-hmm. you know, when I drive by in the mornings by the school.
Yeah, why not? More things to get us off our fat butts and exercising around these parts here in 2024. The Orioles are running around to the bases a little bit. Get some exercise in at Cleveland. 9-5 winners. Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Ellicott City. It's Kevin. Kevin, thanks for holding. What's happening?
It's good, Vinny and Bob. How y'all doing?
All right.
Good.
Better than the White Sox, let's put it that way.
I think just about everybody's doing better than the White Sox, Bob.
Yeah. I mean, they're on pace to maybe be the worst team in the history of the major leagues. But that's their problem.
It certainly is their problem, and they're too far away for us to even help them.
Correct.
Fun segment, my guys, and... what I guess I just wanted to kind of share was, it's just factual humor. If I kept throwing scratch-offs in front of you, no matter, despite your discipline, eventually I will get the majority of the people that I'm throwing them in front of to scratch one, right? It'll happen.
You had me reaching for a quarter by just saying scratch-offs. Kevin.
I'll pick you a scratch off up, Bob, just so it wasn't
don't do it. No,
talking.
No. I've already lost $40 today. Don't do it.
All right. So I feel like it's similar in with what happened to us offensively for the Orioles over that last month and a half, right? We were just so used to the other team throwing X, Y, and Z to get us to not kill the baseball. And I think it just got our eyes a little wrong. Like Gunner, he looked like he had good, soft, easygoing eyes and posture, and the rest of the guys, too. And you could just see that they're back to being hitters, not chasing pitches.
Yeah, there seems to be a little more patience at the plate, and there's a lot more hard contact, too. Because they're doing a little damage, and there's no denying that, Kevin. And, you know, they're going to have to sustain offensive productivity in other ways, though, than just hitting homers. So they got to become more reliable with runners in scoring position. By the way, and it's only the first week of August, the Orioles are fourth in the league in runs scored in the month. So there you go.
I'll take it all day long, Bob. We're still going forward, right? And that's the greatest part about this. Baseball is absolutely the hardest game out there. And you know what? We got the toughest players in the game, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. As always, I don't know, this badminton looking pretty hard right now. Yeah. But what these guys are doing. But when we come back, we'll talk more Orioles with Jacob Calvin-Meyer from the Baltimore Sun. Hey, Cole Irvin cleared waivers, Nolan. I'm sure you're happy about that as he goes back to AAA Norfolk. Zach Eflin's made a nice little impression here so far in Baltimore 2-0. And Eloy Jimenez. I was like, why? Why Eloy Jimenez? Now it's like, why not? Unless he goes 0 for 12 with 11 Ks, then we're back on that one.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.